the chapter including the discourse about Magia. 1. The discourse about Magia. Thus I heard, at one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Charlikar on the Charlikar mountain. Then at that time Venerable Magia was the Gracious One's attendant. Then Venerable Magia went to the Gracious One, and after going and worshipping the Gracious One, he stood on one side. While stood on one side, Venerable Magia said this to the Gracious One, Reverend Sir, I want to enter Jantugama for alms. Now is the time for whatever you are thinking, Magia. Then Venerable Magia, having dressed in the morning time, after picking up his bowl and robe, entered Jantugama for alms. Having walked for alms in Jantugama, while returning from the alms round after the meal, he went to the bank of the river Kimikala, and after going to the bank of the river Kimikala, while wandering around and strolling around on a walk, he saw a pleasing and delightful mango grove. Having seen it, this occurred to him. This is surely a pleasing and delightful mango grove. For a son of a good family who needs to strive, this is surely enough for striving. If the Gracious One would allow me, I could come to this mango grove for striving. Then Venerable Magia went to the Gracious One, and after going and worshipping the Gracious One, he sat down on one side. While sat on one side, Venerable Magia said this to the Gracious One, Here, Reverend Sir, having dressed in the morning time, after picking up my bowl and robe, I entered Jantugama for alms. Having walked for alms in Jantugama, while returning from the alms round after the meal, I went to the bank of the river Kimikala, and after going to the bank of the river Kimikala, while wandering around and strolling around on a walk, I saw a pleasing and delightful mango grove. Having seen it, this occurred to me. This is surely a pleasing and delightful mango grove. For a son of good family who needs to strive, this is surely enough for striving. If the Gracious One would allow me, I could come to this mango grove for striving. If the Gracious One would allow me, Reverend Sir, I could go to that mango grove for striving. When that was said, the Gracious One said this to Venerable Magia, You should wait for as long as I am alone, Magia, until some other monk arrives. For a second time, Venerable Magia said this to the Gracious One, There is nothing further for the Gracious One to do, Reverend Sir. There is nothing to add to what has been done. But for me, Reverend Sir, there is something further to do. There is something to add to what has been done. If the Gracious One would allow me, Reverend Sir, I could go to that mango grove for striving. For a second time, the Gracious One said this to Venerable Magia, You should wait for as long as I am alone, Magia, until some other monk arrives. For a third time, Venerable Magia said this to the Gracious One, There is nothing further for the Gracious One to do, Reverend Sir. There is nothing to add to what has been done. But for me, Reverend Sir, there is something further to do. There is something to add to what has been done. If the Gracious One would allow me, Reverend Sir, I could go to that mango grove for striving. When you are talking about striving, Magia, what can we say? Now is the time for whatever you are thinking, Magia. Then Venerable Magia, after rising from his seat, worshipping and circumambulating the Gracious One, went to that mango grove, and after going and entering that mango grove, he sat down to dwell for the day at the root of a certain tree. Then to Venerable Magia, as he was dwelling in that mango grove, for the most part, only three bad and wholesome thoughts occurred, that is to say, the thought of sensual pleasure, the thought of ill will, the thought of harming. Then it occurred to Venerable Magia, Surely it is wonderful, friend. Surely it is marvelous, friend, that I, who, out of faith, have gone forth from the home to homelessness, should then be ensnared by these three bad and wholesome thoughts, that is to say, by the thought of sensual pleasure, by the thought of ill will, by the thought of harming. Then Venerable Meger, having risen from seclusion in the evening time, went to the Gracious One, and after going and worshipping the Gracious One, he sat down on one side. While sat on one side, Venerable Meger said this to the Gracious One, "Here, Reverend Sir, as I was dwelling in that mango grove, for the most part only three bad and wholesome thoughts occurred, that is to say, the thought of sensual pleasure, the thought of ill will, the thought of harming. Then, Reverend Sir, it occurred to me, surely it is wonderful, friend, surely it is marvellous, friend, that I, who, out of faith, have gone forth from the home to homelessness, should then be ensnared by these three bad and wholesome thoughts, that is to say, by the thought of sensual pleasure, by the thought of ill will, by the thought of harming. For he whose freedom of mind is not fully mature, Meger, there are five things that lead to maturity. What five? Here, Meger, a monk has a good friend, a good companion, a good comrade. For he whose freedom of mind is not fully mature, Meger, this is the first thing that leads to maturity. Furthermore, Meger, a monk is virtuous. He lives restrained with the party mocker restraint, and is endowed with suitable conduct and resort. Seeing danger in the slightest faults, he trains in the training rules he has undertaken. For he whose freedom of mind is not fully mature, Meger, this is the second thing that leads to maturity. Furthermore, Meger, a monk has talk about what is very austere, what is suitable for opening up the mind, and that leads to absolute disenchantment, dispassion, cessation, peace, deep knowledge, complete awakening and emancipation, such as talk on wanting little, talk on being satisfied, talk on complete seclusion, talk on disassociation, talk on arousing energy, talk on virtue, talk on concentration, talk on wisdom, talk on freedom, talk on knowing and seeing freedom. Such talk as this he gains as he desires. He gains without difficulty, gains without trouble. For he whose freedom of mind is not fully mature, Meger, this is the third thing that leads to maturity. Furthermore, Meger, a monk dwells with energy aroused for the giving up of unwholesome things, for the taking up of wholesome things, steadfast, of firm endeavour, one who is not thrown off the burden in regard to wholesome things. For he whose freedom of mind is not fully mature, Meger, this is the fourth thing that leads to maturity. Furthermore, Meger, a monk is wise. He is endowed with wisdom that leads to seeing rise and disappearance, with noble penetration that leads to the complete destruction of suffering. For he whose freedom of mind is not fully mature, Meger, this is the fifth thing that leads to maturity. For he whose freedom of mind is not fully mature, Meger, these five things lead to maturity. It can be expected, Meger, that for a monk who has a good friend, a good companion, a good comrade, that he will be virtuous, that he will live restrained with the party mocker restraint, and will be endowed with suitable conduct and resort, seeing danger in the slightest fault, and will train in the training rules he has undertaken. It can be expected, Meger, that for a monk who has a good friend, a good companion, a good comrade, that he will have talk that is very austere, that is suitable for opening up the mind, and that leads to absolute disenchantment, dispassion, cessation, peace, deep knowledge, complete awakening and emancipation, such as talk on wanting little, talk on being satisfied, talk on complete seclusion, talk on disassociation, talk on stirring up energy, talk on virtue, talk on concentration, talk on wisdom, talk on freedom, talk on knowing and seeing freedom. Such talk as this he gains as he desires, he gains without difficulty, gains without trouble. It can be expected, Magia, that for a monk who has a good friend, a good companion, a good comrade, that he will be a monk with energy aroused for the giving up of unwholesome things, for the taking up of wholesome things, steadfast, of firm endeavour, one who is not thrown off the burden in regard to wholesome things. It can be expected, Magia, that for a monk who has a good friend, a good companion, a good comrade, that he will be wise, endowed with wisdom that leads to seeing rise and disappearance, with noble penetration that leads to the complete destruction of suffering. Then, Magia, with a monk who is established in these five things, four further things ought to be developed. The meditation on the unattractive should be developed for the giving up of passion. Friendliness meditation should be developed for the giving up of ill will. Mindfulness of breathing should be developed for the cutting off of thoughts. The perception of impermanence should be developed for the complete uprooting of the conceit I am. To one who has the perception of impermanence, Magia, the perception of non-self is established. One who perceives non-self reaches the complete uprooting of the conceit I am. In this very life reaches emancipation. Then the Gracious One, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance. There are low thoughts, fine thoughts, together with elation in the mind. Not having understood those thoughts of the mind, the unsteady mind runs here and there. Having understood these thoughts of the mind, he who is ardent, mindful, restrains them. Also, elations that have not arisen in the mind, an awakened one has given these up completely. 2. The Discourse About Agitation. Thus I heard. At one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Kusinara at Upavattana in the Mallas sal wood. Then at that time many monks were dwelling in a little forest hut not far from the Gracious One, agitated, arrogant, fickle, garrulous, of loose speech, unmindful, not fully understanding, uncomposed, with minds very unsteady, and with faculties uncontrolled. The Gracious One saw those many monks dwelling in a little forest hut not far away, agitated, arrogant, fickle, garrulous, of loose speech, unmindful, not fully understanding, uncomposed, with minds very unsteady, and with faculties uncontrolled. Then the Gracious One, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance. Through unprotected body and through attainment of wrong view, through being overcome by sloth and torpor, one goes under the power of Mara. Therefore one should be of protected mind, one whose resort is right thought, devoted to right view, having come to know rise and fall. The monk who overcomes sloth and torpor will give up all bad destinies. 3. The Discourse About the Cowherd. Thus I heard. At one time the Gracious One was walking on walking tour amongst the Kosalans, together with a great community of monks. Then the Gracious One, having gone down from the road, went to the root of a certain tree, and after going he sat down on the prepared seat. Then a certain cowherd went to the Gracious One, and after going and worshipping the Gracious One, he sat down on one side. While sitting on one side, The Gracious One instructed, roused, enthused, and cheered that cowherd with a Dhamma talk. Then that cowherd, having been instructed, roused, enthused, and cheered by the Gracious One with a Dhamma talk, said to the Gracious One, "May the Gracious One consent, Reverend Sir, to me offering him a meal on the morrow, together with the community of monks." The Gracious One consented by maintaining silence. Then that cowherd, having understood the Gracious One's consent, after rising from his seat, worshipping and circumambulating the Gracious One, went away. Then with the passing of that night, that cowherd, in his own residence, having had an abundance of rich milk rice and fresh ghee made ready, announced the time to the Gracious One, saying, "It is time, Reverend Sir, the meal is ready." Then the Gracious One, having dressed in the morning time, after picking up his bowl and robe, together with the community of monks, went to that cowherd's residence, and after going, he sat down on the prepared seat. Then that cowherd, with his own hand, served and satisfied the community of monks with the Buddha at its head, with rich milk rice and fresh ghee. Then that cowherd, when the Gracious One had eaten and washed his hand and bowl, having taken a low seat, sat down on one side. While sat on one side, the Gracious One, after instructing, rousing, enthusing, and cheering that cowherd with a Dhamma talk, having risen from the seat, went away. Then not long after the Gracious One had gone, while between the boundaries of the villages, a certain man deprived that cowherd of life. Then many monks went to the Gracious One, and after going and worshipping the Gracious One, they sat down on one side. While sat on one side, those monks said this to the Gracious One, "Today, Reverend Sir, the community of monks with the Buddha at its head was served and satisfied by a cowherd with rich milk rice and fresh ghee. Now it seems that cowherd, Reverend Sir, while between the boundaries of the villages, was deprived of life by a certain man." Then the Gracious One, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance, "Whatever an enemy might do to an enemy, or a foe to a foe, a wrongly directed mind may do more harm to him than that." IV. The Discourse about Moonlight. Thus I heard. At one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Rajagaha in bamboo wood at the squirrel's feeding place. Then at that time Venerable Sariputta and Venerable Mahamoggallana were living at the Pigeon Vale. Then at that time Venerable Sariputta, on a moonlit night, with his hair freshly shaved off, was sitting in the open air, having attained a certain concentration. Then at that time two Yaka friends were going from the northern region to the southern region with some business or other. Those Yakas saw Venerable Sariputta on that moonlit night with his hair freshly shaved off, sat in the open air, and after seeing him, one of those Yakas said this to the second Yaka, "It occurs to me, friend, to give a blow on this ascetic's head." When that was said, that Yaka said this to the other Yaka, "Enough, friend, don't strike the ascetic. Eminent is the ascetic, friend, of great power, of great majesty." For a second time that Yaka said this to the other Yaka, "It occurs to me, friend, to give a blow on this ascetic's head." For a second time that Yaka said this to the other Yaka, "Enough, friend, don't strike the ascetic. Eminent is the ascetic, friend, of great power, of great majesty." For a third time that Yaka said this to the other Yaka, "It occurs to me, friend, to give a blow on this ascetic's head." For a third time that Yaka said this to the other Yaka, "Enough, friend, don't strike the ascetic. Eminent is the ascetic, friend, of great power, of great majesty." Then the yakka, taking no notice of that other yakka, gave a blow on the elder venerable Sariputta's head. It was such a great blow that with that blow a 7 or 7.5 cubit Naga elephant might have been felled, or a great mountain top might have been burst open. Then that yakka, calling out, "I'm burning, I'm burning," right there and then fell into the great hell. Venerable Mahamoggallana saw with his divine eye, which is purified and surpasses that of normal men, that yakka giving a blow on Venerable Sariputta's head. And after seeing it, he went to Venerable Sariputta, and after going, he said this to Venerable Sariputta: "Can you bear up, venerable friend? Can you carry on? Do you have any pain?" "I can bear up, friend Moggallana. I can carry on, friend Moggallana, but I have a little pain on my head." "Wonderful, friend Sariputta, marvellous, friend Sariputta, such is the venerable Sariputta's great power and great majesty. Here, venerable Sariputta, a certain yakka gave a blow on your head. It was such a great blow that with that blow a 7 or 7.5 cubit Naga elephant might have been felled, or a great mountain top might have been burst open. But then Venerable Sariputta said this: "I can bear up, friend Moggallana, I can carry on, friend Moggallana, but I have a little pain on my head." "Wonderful, friend Moggallana, marvellous, friend Moggallana, such is the Venerable Mahamoggallana's great power and great majesty, inasmuch as he can see even a yakka, whereas we at present do not even see a mud demon." The Gracious One heard with his divine ear element, which is purified and surpasses that of normal men, the fitting talk and conversation of these two great Nagas. Then the Gracious One, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance: "For he whose mind is like a rock, steady and not wavering, unexcited by what is exciting, not agitated by what is agitating, for he whose mind is developed thus, from where will pain come upon him?" V. The Discourse about the Naga Elephant. Thus I heard. At one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Kausambi in Gosita's monastery. Then at that time the Gracious One was living beset by monks and nuns and male lay followers and female lay followers and kings and kings' ministers and sectarians' disciples. He lived beset, unhappy and uncomfortable. Then it occurred to the Gracious One, "At present I am living beset by monks and nuns and male lay followers and female lay followers and kings and kings' ministers and sectarians' disciples. I am living beset, unhappy and uncomfortable. Well now, I could dwell solitary, secluded from the group." Then the Gracious One, having dressed in the morning time, after picking up his bowl and robe, entered Kausambi for alms. After walking for alms in Kausambi, when he had returned from the alms round after the meal, after putting the dwelling place in order by himself, picking up his robe and bowl, without having addressed his attendants, without having taken leave of the community of monks, solitary, without a companion, went away on a walk towards Parilayaka. While walking gradually on walking tour, he arrived at Parilayaka. There the Gracious One dwelt near Parilayaka in the protected jungle at the root of the auspicious sal tree. Now also a certain Naga elephant was living beset by male elephants, by female elephants, by young elephants, by baby elephants. He ate grass that had the tips broken off, while they ate what he had broken down from the branches. He drank water that had been disturbed, and when he arose from the bathing place, female elephants went along jostling his body. He lived beset, unhappy and uncomfortable. Then it occurred to that Naga elephant, At present I am living beset by male elephants, by female elephants, by young elephants, by baby elephants. I eat grass that has the tips broken off, while they eat what I have broken down from the branches. I drink water that has been disturbed, and when I arise from the braving place, female elephants go along jostling my body. I am living beset, unhappy and uncomfortable. Well now, I could dwell solitary, secluded from the group. Then that Naga elephant, having gone away from the herd, went to Parilayaka, the protected jungle, the root of the auspicious sal tree, and to the Gracious One. There, in that place where the Gracious One dwelt, that Naga elephant cleared that place of grass, and with his trunk provided the Gracious One with drinking water and washing water. Then when the Gracious One had gone into hiding, into seclusion, this reflection arose in his mind. Formerly I was living beset by monks and nuns and male lay followers and female lay followers and kings and kings' ministers and sectarians' disciples. I was living beset, unhappy and uncomfortable. However, at present I am living unbeset by monks and nuns and male lay followers and female lay followers and kings and kings' ministers and sectarians' disciples. I am living unbeset, happily and comfortable. Also to that Naga elephant this reflection arose in his mind. Formerly I was living beset by male elephants, by female elephants, by young elephants, by baby elephants. I ate grass that had the tips broken off, while they ate what I had broken down from the branches. I drank water that had been disturbed, and when I arose from my bathing place, female elephants proceeded to jostle me with their bodies. I was living beset, unhappy, uncomfortable. However, at present I am living unbeset by male elephants, by female elephants, by young elephants, by baby elephants. I eat the unbroken tips of grass, while they do not eat what I have broken down from the branches. I drink water that has not been disturbed, and when I arise from my bathing place, female elephants do not proceed to jostle me with their bodies. I am living unbeset, happily and comfortable. Then the Gracious One, having understood his own complete seclusion, and knowing with his mind the reflection that had arisen in the Naga elephant's mind, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance. This pole-toothed elephant Naga's mind agrees with the Buddha Naga's mind, that a Naga delights in being solitary in the wood. Six. The Discourse about Pindola. Thus I heard. At one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Sarvati, in Jeta's wood, at Anathapindika's monastery. Then at that time Venerable Pindola Mbaradwaja was sitting not far from the Gracious One, after folding his legs crosswise and setting his body straight, a forest dweller, an alms gatherer, a rag rober, one with only three robes, with few longings, satisfied, completely secluded, unattached, with energy aroused, being one who spoke about the ascetic practices, who was applying himself to the higher mind. The Gracious One saw Venerable Pindola Bharadwaja, who was sitting not far away, after folding his legs crosswise and setting his body straight, a forest dweller, an alms gatherer, a rag rober, one with only three robes, with few longings, satisfied, completely secluded, unattached, with energy aroused, being one who spoke about the ascetic practices, who was applying himself to the higher mind. Then the Gracious One, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance. Not finding fault, not hurting, and restraint in regard to the Patimokkha, knowing the correct measure in food, and living in a remote dwelling place, being devoted to the higher mind, This is the teaching of the Buddhas. Seven, the discourse about Sariputta. Thus I heard. At one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Sarvati in Jeta's wood at Anathapindika's monastery. Then at that time Venerable Sariputta was sitting not far away from the Gracious One, after folding his legs crosswise and setting his body straight, with few longings, satisfied, completely secluded, unattached, with energy aroused, applying himself to the higher mind. The Gracious One saw Venerable Sariputta, who was sitting not far away, after folding his legs crosswise and setting his body straight, with few longings, satisfied, completely secluded, detached, with energy aroused, applying himself to the higher mind. Then the Gracious One, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance: For he with higher mind, for the heedful one, for the sage who is training on the path of sagacity, there are no griefs for such a one. For a peaceful one, he is one who is always mindful. 8. The discourse about Sundari. Thus I heard. At one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Sarvati in Jeta's wood at Anathapindika's monastery. Then at that time the Gracious One was venerated, respected, revered, honoured, esteemed, and in receipt of robes, alms food, dwellings, and medicinal requisites to help when sick. Also the community of monks were venerated, respected, revered, honoured, esteemed, and in receipt of robes, alms food, dwellings, and medicinal requisites to help when sick. But wanderers from other sects were not venerated, not respected, not revered, not honoured, not esteemed, nor were they in receipt of robes, alms food, dwellings, and medicinal requisites to help when sick. Then those wanderers from other sects, being unable to bear the veneration of the Gracious One and the community of monks, went to the female wanderer Sundari, and after going, they said this to the female wanderer Sundari: Sister, what would you venture to do for your kinsman's welfare? What can I do, masters? What am I unable to do? I have given up my life for my kinsman's welfare. Then, sister, you must frequently go to Jeta's wood. Yes, masters, said the female wanderer Sundari, and after replying to those wanderers from other sects, she frequently went to Jeta's wood. When those wanderers from other sects knew the female wanderer Sundari has been seen by many people frequently going to Jeta's wood, then having deprived her of life and buried her in a trench pit right there in Jeta's wood, they went to the Kosalan king Pasenadi, and after going, they said this to the Kosalan king Pasenadi: Great king, we no longer see the female wanderer Sundari. But where do you suspect she is? In Jeta's wood, great king. Then you must search Jeta's wood. Then those wanderers from other sects, after searching Jeta's wood, lifting the body up from the trench pit where it had been buried, putting it on a bier, and entering Sarvati, going from road to road, from crossroads to crossroads, made people find fault, saying, See, masters, what the Sakyan ascetics have done. Shameless are those Sakyan ascetics, lacking in virtue, of bad character, speakers of what is false, not living the spiritual life. But they will claim that they live by Dhamma, live in peace, live spiritually, speak the truth, are virtuous and are of good character. They have no asceticism. They have no spirituality. Their asceticism has perished. Their spirituality has perished. Where is their asceticism? Where is their spirituality? They have gone away from asceticism. They have gone away from spirituality. For what man, having done what a man can do, would deprive a woman of life? Then at that time the people in Sarvati, after seeing the monks, with vulgar and rough words, scolded, abused, annoyed and troubled them, saying, "Shameless are these Sakyan ascetics, lacking in virtue, of bad character, speakers of what is false, not living the spiritual life, but they will claim that they live by Dhamma, live in peace, live spiritually, speak the truth, are virtuous and are of good character. They have no asceticism, they have no spirituality, their asceticism has perished, their spirituality has perished. Where is their asceticism? Where is their spirituality? They have gone away from asceticism, they have gone away from spirituality. For what man, having done what a man can do, would deprive a woman of life?" Then many monks, having dressed in the morning time, after picking up their bowls and robes, entered Sarvati for alms. And after walking for alms in Sarvati, while returning from the alms round after the meal, went to the Gracious One. And after going and worshipping the Gracious One, they sat down on one side. While sat on one side, those monks said this to the Gracious One, "At present, Reverend Sir, the people in Sarvati, after seeing the monks, with vulgar and rough words, scold, abuse, annoy and trouble them, saying, 'Shameless are these Sakyan ascetics, lacking in virtue, of bad character, speakers of what is false, not living the spiritual life. But they will claim that they live by Dhamma, live by peace, live spiritually, speak the truth, are virtuous, and are of good character. They have no asceticism, they have no spirituality, their asceticism has perished, their spirituality has perished. Where is their asceticism? Where is their spirituality? They have gone away from asceticism, they have gone away from spirituality. For what man, having done what a man can do, would deprive a woman of life?" "This noise will not last long, monks. It will last for only 7 days, and with the passing of 7 days, it will disappear. So, monks, when those people, after seeing the monks with vulgar and rough words, scold, abuse, annoy and trouble them, you should reprove them with this verse. He who speaks what is untrue goes to the nether regions. Also he who says, 'I did not do what he has done.' Both of those men who have performed base deeds are the same when they have passed away in the other world." Then those monks, having mastered that verse in the presence of the Gracious One, when those people, after seeing the monks with vulgar and rough words, scolded, abused, annoyed and troubled them, reproved them with this verse, "He who speaks what is untrue goes to the nether regions. Also he who says, 'I did not do what he has done.' Both of those men who have performed base deeds are the same when they have passed away to the other world." Then this occurred to those people. These Sakyan ascetics are not the doers. This wasn't done by them. These Sakyan ascetics are asserting the truth. That noise did not last long. It only lasted for 7 days. And with the passing of 7 days, it disappeared. Then many monks went to the Gracious One, and after going and worshipping the Gracious One, they sat down on one side. While sat on one side, those monks said this to the Gracious One, "It is wonderful, Reverend Sir. It is marvelous, Reverend Sir. How well spoken that was, Reverend Sir, by the Gracious One. This noise will not last long, monks. It will only last for 7 days. And with the passing of 7 days, it will disappear. That noise, Reverend Sir, has disappeared." Then the Gracious One, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance. "Unrestrained, the people pierce others with words, like they pierce an elephant with arrows in a battle. But having heard that rough speech broadcast around, a monk should bear it with an uncorrupt mind." 9. The Discourse about Upasena. Thus I heard. At one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Rajagaha in bamboo wood at the squirrel's feeding place. Then when Venerable Upasena Vangantaputta had gone into hiding, into seclusion, this reflection arose in his mind. There are certainly gains for me. It is certainly a good gain for me that my teacher is the Gracious One, the Worthy One, the perfect Sambuddha, and that I have gone forth from the home to homelessness in such a well-explained Dhamma and discipline, and that my companions in the spiritual life are virtuous of good character, and that I have fulfilled the virtuous precepts, and that I am composed, and that my mind is one-pointed, and that I am a worthy one, pollutant-free, and that I am of great power, of great majesty. My life has been fortunate, and my death will be fortunate. Then the Gracious One, knowing with his mind the reflection in Venerable Upasena Vangantaputta's mind, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance: He whom life does not torment, who does not grieve at the end in death, if that firm one is one who has seen the state of peace, in the midst of grief he does not grieve. For the monk who has cut off the craving for continuity, whose mind is at peace, having totally destroyed the round of births, for him there is no continuation in existence. Ten. The Discourse about Sariputta. Thus I heard. At one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Sarvati in Jeta's wood, at Anathapindika's monastery. Then at that time Venerable Sariputta was sitting not far away from the Gracious One, after folding his legs crosswise and setting his body straight, reflecting on his own peacefulness. The Gracious One saw that Venerable Sariputta was sitting not far away, after folding his legs crosswise and setting his body straight, was reflecting on his own peacefulness. Then the Gracious One, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance: For the monk whose peaceful mind is full of peace, for the one who's cut off what leads to rebirth, having totally destroyed the round of births, he is free from the bonds of Mara.